I just want to say what a blessing it is to be here, a privilege it is to be here today with all of you. I love your theme. I love those bags. Oh my goodness, I'm using every one of my pockets. Got them all full. I love the kneeling prayer cushion. We used it immediately. We came into our house. Into our room. We made it our house, right? You brought your comforters and everything, right? And then immediately, my friends and I, that pray on our face, we go, should we do it? We should. So we all got down and prayed on our knees, and then we ended up using them for our face. So it was awesome. Praise the Lord. You have done such a great job. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come and to invite my children. Four of my daughters are here, and three of my friends came. What a blessing. I am a very blessed woman, and so are you because you're here. So I cry easily. Don't let it bother you, because I have asked the Lord for years and years and years to please take that away from me, because I sound like Minnie Mouse when I start to cry, but I just keep talking. So please don't feel sorry for me. God, that's just, you know, maybe the thorn in my flesh, and I have a soft heart. I hope it's because I have a soft heart, but when I talk about the Lord, it makes me cry. I mean, even now, you just mention the word Jesus, and you just feel, don't you feel like, oh, I just want to cry, because he's so good, and he's so faithful. I've got a couple more people looking to come in, so that's a blessing. Come on up. We're moving up close so that you guys can hear me. Can you hear me now in the back? Lisa thought that I was quiet. I was like, really? My girls turned around and looked at me. And I thought, oh, quiet, gentle spirit. I feel like I'm that bull in the china cabinet. I don't feel like I'm meek and quiet. And my girls say sometimes I'm intimidating. So I'm like, really? I don't need to be intimidating. But you know what? I am passionate. And I'm passionate about Christ. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being our God, for being here, for loving us, for having a plan for our life, for it being for good and not for evil. I just thank you, Lord, that we are here to grow in you, to grow more like you, to be those, to have those Beatitudes in our life. What a great teaching. What a blessing, Lord. The teaching last night. We want to be planted in that good soil. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being our God and for being here with us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my title is Growing in Grace. And I've had to do a lot of that growing in grace, as I'm sure all of you have. I am Gary Kusunoki's wife. I have been pastor's wife for about 22 years. I have six girls that live here with me. Two are adopted from the Sudan, and one is Korean, and three are my birth children. And my two adopted girls, one of them has two brothers in Sudan, well, actually in Uganda, and the other one has a brother and sister in Uganda. So I'm really a mother of 10. I mean, wow. I used to say I had six children, but I just recently went to Uganda 2 days after Christmas, and we were there for about 3 weeks. So I've been home just about a month, and I have 10 children. We are all together. All 10 of our children were together. It was incredible. God is so good and so faithful, and I can't tell you how faithful he is. I have chosen 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 to start off with. And it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. To him be the glory that's what we want to do. We want to grow because God has a plan for our life. And we want to grow more like him. And that's the whole theme of the retreat. It's all about Jesus. And so we want our marriages to grow and to be like Jesus. And God gives us that example. He created marriage because it wasn't good for man to be alone, right? And so when we read that, then we read in Genesis 23, when we skip down, it said, and the man said, verse 22, and the Lord fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were naked and were not ashamed. And I have to tell you, that has a very, very special meaning to me. The man and the woman were naked and they were not ashamed. And that is the way we're to be before God, isn't it? We're to be naked and unashamed. It wasn't until sin came in that they even knew they were naked. And so when sin comes in, we have to cover up, we have to hide. And we don't want to be like that in our marriage. We want to be open, we want to be pure, we want to be right before the Lord. Well, when you have your marriage, you want to keep it, you want to keep that inner circle together. The man and the woman are to leave their mother and father, and they become one. They become one unit. And we all know that. Everybody's married here, right? Because she sent the single gals off. So we've all been married for, it looks like, for a while, probably, right? Most of us. Maybe, is there anybody newly married? All right, we've got a newlywed. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he is faithful. And you chose your mate, right? You had the choice. You were the one that said yes to your mate, to your husband. And now you're committed. You're committed to him. Whether you chose him before you were a Christian, or whether you chose him after you were a Christian, whether you chose him when you were backslidden, or when you chose him when you were walking strongly with the Lord. And that is your husband. And that is to be kept together with this inner circle. We have to be on the alert. We have to stand firm. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, stand firm in faith, act like men, well, women, and be strong. Let all you do be done in love. And so, as we've picked our mate, and we have to be on guard. We have to watch what God has given us. I don't know what happened, but I somehow lost my first page of notes. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going over this. But our my notes, if you've got the paper, it's guard, grow in grace, and give glory to God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in your marriage, you want to be where? That's why I read 2 Peter 3:17. Beware, because the enemy is out to destroy your marriage. He hates godly marriages, and he will do whatever he can. He is like that roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And the way that happens for us as women, we have to take our thoughts captive, don't we? Because the enemy is mean. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You've gained weight. You're kind of fat. You look frumpy. You know, all those things, right? Or, I'm looking good. You know, and you get prideful. Whatever it is. But we have to guard those thoughts. My husband doesn't love me. Or, you know, and who are you today? I don't know if any of you have ever gone through enjoying marriage. Did you ever do that? With Ron and Betty Wiseman?
No.
It's really old. I've been married for 30 years, a little over. We celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary in November. Yes. Praise God. We went to Hawaii for 8 days by ourselves. It was better than the honeymoon because we have grown in the Lord. We have grown together. We have grown in, in our intimacy together, in our marriage all the way around. We've grown up in Christ. I mean, it was awesome. So every year should be better and better. We have some dips at times, but it should be better. But we have to be on guard. We have to keep that inner circle. We have to trust that God is the mighty warrior in our midst, isn't he? He's the one that's going to protect us because the work on the cross has already been finished, right? He says, I'm the mighty warrior in your midst. I will quiet you in my love, and I will sing over you with joy because he has finished the work and sat down. He's satisfied. The work is done, and now we can rest in him. And now we can be careful to guard ourselves and to take our thoughts captive and to walk in a manner that is worthy. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Well, I don't know if you know my story, but about 4.5 years ago, almost 5, my husband committed adultery. My husband is pastor. He committed adultery with my best friend. The woman I walked to the temple with, the woman that was like my children's second mom, the woman who was like-minded, these were my best friends, my very best friends. These are the ones I trusted my most precious possessions here on earth, my children, with. And I had a double betrayal. It was devastating. It was beyond devastating. But by God's grace and his mercy and his faithfulness, I can stand here today to tell you that my husband has been restored, that our marriage has been restored, that my family is restored, and walking strongly in Jesus. I thought that I was going to teach the session first and then do the workshop. So I kind of thought I was already going to be introduced to you and have already told you that. But what I have learned through this is, just like our last speaker, Angie, was talking about being a pastor's wife and growing. You know, through times when we are walking as a pastor's wife, as a Christian, we get hurt, right? And things come up and we get bitterness in our hearts sometimes. And God had to work with me on some bitterness. And so I was going through that bitterness. I had been hurt by people. And God had taken me for several years working that out. He had gotten me in a great place where I was being healed from that. And I was walking strongly with him. I was in the Word. I never quit walking with him. I never got out of the Word. I just had that bitterness that needed to be cleaned out. He was pruning me and digging deeper and cultivating that soil. And so, praise God, his timing is perfect. Because if I had been in that place before, I probably wouldn't be here today. Because I wouldn't have had the grace to forgive what I needed to. I was shocked. You know, we're not in high school anymore. We had been married almost 26 years. My husband is a very godly man. My husband was kind. He was always good to me. He always took care of me. He loved my children. He's been almost to every single doctor's appointment they've ever had. He's been to the dentist. He's been to their ballet. He's been to their place. Whatever it is. I mean, this is a godly man. We had a ministry that we worked all over the world. And his greatest gift of compassion was used against him. Because my girlfriend got depressed. She got depressed over something silly. Something silly. Her son broke up with his girlfriend. The girlfriend was 15 years old. And it devastated my friend. Because how could this 15-year-old girl just turn her back on her son? And then her son started going off the deep end. You know, maybe dating some other girls that weren't good. Anyways, she allowed this to take her into a place that she didn't take her thoughts captive. And I just want to be real with you. Life is hard, and marriage is hard. You have two sinners that come together, and I had a good marriage. We were friends. We have been friends our whole married life. We've gone through troubles and trials, but nothing that would cause something like this. But the enemy's good, isn't he? He's good. He lies and he waits until just the right time, and then he strikes. And he gets us. And that's what happened to my husband. That's what happened to my friend. She is a godly woman. We're on the same page. We're teaching purity and truth and righteousness. My girls had never even dated. I had a 23-year-old at the time, my oldest one. My youngest one was 11. And none of them had ever dated. We were on the same page. How does that happen, ladies? How does it happen? It happens when we don't take our thoughts captive. When we start becoming discontent. When we say, oh, that godly man, look at him. He's a godly husband. He probably treats his wife nice. And that's what happened to my friend. She became discontent with her marriage. She became discontent with her life, and she wanted mine. Because mine looked so good. Because my husband was a godly man. Because my husband was sensitive. Because my husband listened to me. But as soon as that godly man crosses the line, he's not a godly man anymore either. I don't stand up here and tell you, oh, isn't my husband so nice? He committed adultery. He's the biggest jerk in the world. I mean, come on. That is like the meanest thing you can do to your wife. I mean, that was horrible, devastating. And how does a godly man who loves his wife and loves his family get to that place? He became the hero to other people. He became wrapped up in his work. He became wrapped up in ministry. Doing good things for the Lord. If this woman hadn't been my close friend, she would have never gotten in. Somehow, I let that inner circle out a little too much, and somehow she got in there. So we have to keep those inner circles tight. I had no idea. I was totally and completely caught off guard. I knew there was spiritual warfare in my house. Because she actually lived in another state, and she was working for our ministry, and she would come to visit, and she came and stayed at my house. Every time she stayed at my house, it was normal. I mean, she was my best friend. Her kids came, her husband came, you know, we were friends, a family friends. But she started to change when she got depressed. I told her, I'm worried about you. I used to look at her and say, something's different. Are you okay? You're depressed. Oh, I know I'm depressed. It's going to be all right. But she started imitating me. She started dressing differently. She started liking Coca-Cola. I like Coca-Cola. She only drank water. And she started imitating me. She started talking about going to Sudan. This is Miss Purell woman. You know, she would never go to Sudan. She would never go in the bush, or, you know, she is clean. You know, that wouldn't be her. And we looked at her and said, you what? You want, well, you never know. I mean, she not only wanted my husband, she wanted my life. She started imitating me and trying to sway my children. Well, you know, if anything ever happens, and, you know, your mom and dad are busy, you can always talk to me. How sad. How sad. We have to guard our marriages. I wasn't a perfect wife, but I was there for my husband in every way. It was his choice. And sometimes it's not our choice, is it? Sometimes we are going, I call it driving the train. We were going down that train, and I heard a message afterwards saying, well, you're driving the train. I was not driving this train. I was on the train, and I was pulling the emergency brake, and I feel like I was flying straight back, and I was saying, stop, stop. But that didn't happen. I knew we were going to crash. I just didn't know what it would be. I knew that my husband was living in the flesh a bit. How does a pastor do that? Oh, when Pastor Brian last night said that, he said they can be standing up there, speaking the word, preaching the word, and living a different life. How sad. My poor husband. I know I used to say that, and people would go, poor husband, poor her. You know, and she's clueless about it. No, I'm not clueless about it. But God gave me a compassion for my husband. He gave me a compassion to see, oh my goodness, his soul was sick. His soul was broken. Oh my goodness, this man that had walked with the Lord had been a pure man during our marriage before we got married. How sad. He was going to need that love and that grace and that mercy from God, because this could kill him. That's who my husband is. He's a soft man. He's a soft-hearted man. He cries easily. You know, he's not a wimpy man, but he's a sinner. My friend was a sinner. And they got off track. And it happens. And it could have been me, because I was lonely in my marriage. Obviously, with my husband being busy, 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 I could have said, well, you know, he's traveling a lot. And I'm always home with these kids. And I always have to do everything. You know, I'd like some attention. And as soon as that happens, throw it out. Throw it out. Because it will take you to a place you do not want to go. It will kill you. It will kill your marriage. It will kill your relationship with God. Well, when my husband got found out, I already knew something was wrong. And I would tell him, would you please just listen to your message? Listen to your messages. I hear the Holy Spirit speaking through you. You come home, and it was the Holy Spirit speaking, and you didn't hear. We have to be honest, don't we? Mm-hmm. Communication is so important. We want to build our husbands up, but we have to be honest with them. Communication is the key. He didn't have time to listen to his message. He didn't have time to hear. I could hear him saying, you know, the flesh would come out. I could hear him saying, well, you know, I'm so busy. You get up in the morning and the Lord's there waiting for you. And you say, okay, Lord, I got to get going because, you know, I'm running late. I got this meeting. I got that meeting. I got to save those people and that people and those people. And, okay, thank you, Lord, bless me, and go on. That's where I can hear the flesh talking. And then he'd give a message and the Holy Spirit would come in because, you know what? The Holy Spirit loves us. God loves us. And so even if we're in sin, we can still be used. It doesn't mean we're okay. Because the enemy tricks us and says, well, you know, you're okay. God used you. People got saved. People got ministered to. Now, every one of us, just because I'm a pastor's wife, doesn't mean I'm any different than you. You're talking to people. People are getting saved, maybe through you. People are being ministered to you, by you. And so you could have that same problem. You could be that false person that is being grown by that artificial light, or you're grown by the sun. And so you have to be real. I used to teach you have to be ruthlessly honest with yourself, because you're the only one that knows, don't you? You're the only one that knows. Oh, that guy's pretty cute. That husband's nicer than my husband. That one probably works out. You're the only one that knows if that thought comes into your mind, right? You're the only one. You have to be so ruthlessly honest. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin for that thought to come into your mind, because where does it come from? The pit of hell. He brings it right in. And believe me, if you are not on guard, and if you are not careful, you will be swept away with that thought. And then you'll be thinking about it and dwelling on it. And what happens? That's how sin is birthed. We dwell on it. We think about it. And then we do it. Oh, my goodness. Do you know this nearly killed my friend? Well, it nearly killed all of us. Quite frankly, I was just like, I yelled. I screamed. I said, why didn't you just kill me? You should have just killed me. You know, it hurts so bad. I don't want you to think, oh, look, she's all recovered. And, you know, it must not have been that big a deal. No, it was that big a deal. I wanted to die. I was so hurt. I was like, my faith was shattered. Like, oh my goodness, are you for real? I mean, what is this, a big joke on Carol? I was walking with you, Lord. I was serving you. I'm raising these kids in you. I was there for my husband. I was doing all these things. My theology got off, didn't it? Just because I was walking in God's will, just because I was serving him, just because I was raising my children up in him, and I was there for my husband, doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to happen to me. But I was devastated. I got twisted in my thinking and thought, well, this is love. This is love. I love you. Then, you know, comes the counseling, and sometimes those counselors are sinners too, and they betray you, and they tell people something they shouldn't know, and then those people come back to you, and you go, oh my goodness, everybody loves me. This is love? Please don't love me anymore, because I can't take it, you know? I just can't take it. So we have to guard. We have to guard. Because if we don't, we could be the woman that does this to somebody else's family. We could be the woman. It doesn't just hurt you. If any of you are playing on the fence, if any of you are having these feelings, and you know what? It's normal to get into that place in the world. You know, any one of us, it could happen to. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Don't go there, don't play there. It doesn't just affect you. It nearly killed my children. Sin affects everyone. It has a ripple effect. So guard your hearts, guard your minds in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 12:14 says, I have entrusted, I believe whom I have entrusted my life to, that he's going to guard it, that he's going to keep it, and he will do that for us. It's God. First Peter is that your adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he might devour. Taking your thoughts captive, 1 Corinthians 10:5. No temptation comes to us, ladies, that there isn't a way that's provided for us for that escape. My husband heard, but he didn't take the way out. And he didn't take the way out until it was too late. Sad, sad, sad. Don't play with it. You will get burnt. Well, we're going to grow in grace. And how are we going to do that? We are going to we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to have God's love in us. In 1 Peter 3:1, it tells us, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And then if there's any that are going the wrong way, if they're an unbeliever, that they may be won by your quiet and gentle spirit. So your words, seasoned as salt, are so important. How you talk to your husband, how you love your husband. 2 Chronicles 2:14. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will come to me and pray, I will heal their land. That's what God did for me. He healed my land. You know, it's only by grace that you've been saved. It's only by Christ that I've been saved. I'm nothing special. I'm not any different than any one of you. It's only by grace that my husband was saved. It's only by grace that I'm here today. It's only by grace, and his grace is sufficient for us. We have to forgive. We have to walk in the manner that is worthy of the calling that we've been called. We have to cultivate that ground, that soil, that good soil, and stay on track with it. We have to be content to be planted wherever it is that God is planting us, and be content with the husband that God has given us, with the children that God has given us. We need to be content and bloom where we're planted. We want to enjoy our marriage, right? Proverbs 15:5-19 says, drink water from your own cistern and water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife or the husband of your youth. Enjoy one another. Have fun together. Be happy together. Not happy as the world, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you have conflict, work it out. Be in there for the long haul, whatever that might be for you. I don't know what's going on in your family, but after all of this happened in my family, we laid on the floor for almost a year praying. My husband resigned from his job. He immediately, as soon as he was found out, hit the floor. Psalm 51. Mm-hmm. I never understood verse 4 so clearly as I do now. Against me and me alone, against God and God alone, have I sinned. I saw a complete repentance. I mean, it was awesome. I have never seen such a repentance in my life. and God has done a miracle. My husband didn't know the love of God the way I did. But now my husband knows the love of God, His grace and His mercy, His forgiveness, and that new life. I live the Word. I can't even tell you all the scriptures. You know, it's so hard to narrow them down because they're all so good. And they all just teach you. And there's something sweet about being broken, isn't there? A year. It's like the Jewish weddings. They don't work for a year. They take them home and they learn about each other. And that's what God did for us. He gave us that opportunity. Yeah, we lost our house. Ooh, we had to claim bankruptcy. Yeah, we did. I rent a beautiful home in Laguna Niguel right now. And when something breaks, I call the landlord. You know, God works all things together for good. You know, I don't know how He does all those things, but He does. I mean, I had a beautiful home, but it was just a house. And God in His grace and His mercy. My husband said, I can't continue to work in this ministry. I've disqualified myself. I need to step down. There was the opportunity for him to just take 3 months off and then come back. And he said, what would that do? What would that teach my children? That you do something bad, something horrible, get your hands slapped, and then you're fine. Take a little vacation, get your act together, and then you come back. And he said, I have to find out how in the world I got to this place. How could I be so dead that I could sin against God, my wife, my children, the people that I serve? How could I be so dead? You know what he found out? Bitterness. Bitterness, trying to prove. He was somebody trying to prove that God loved him. How sad. Could that happen to you? It has happened to me. I've been bitter. I've been hurt. I've been envious. I've done all of those things. And yet, by God's grace and His mercy, He forgives us. I read a book, it says, what if God designed marriage to make us holy rather than happy? What if God has a deeper plan for us than just getting married and having our children and being happy? Gary Thomas has written this book called Sacred Marriage. It's really for the mature believer. Because it's hard, and you might not understand it. You know, you might not want to do it. You might not, like, get it. It's dying to yourself. That's my next message. So I'm kind of mixing them up here. But this book looks at how we can use some of the challenges, the joys, the struggles, the celebration of marriage to draw closer to God. To grow in our character to God. Marriage is hard. Marriage takes work. Marriage takes grace. And we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. So you need to be sunk deep. Your roots need to be deep in this soil, this good soil. So that you can grow. So when the storm comes and you get tossed and blown around, but you stay on that rock. You stay deep because your roots are deep. And because I have been blessed to stay home with my children for 28 years, my roots were deep. My children stayed on the rock. We didn't lose one of them. Not one of them walked away from the Lord. Not one of them. Because goodness. I was horrible. You know, just you think my husband was so bad? God had to show me, oh, you're so nice, Carol, aren't you? You've forgiven him. You've taken him back. Yeah, you cried and you, you know, screamed a little. But no, I had this anger and, oh, my goodness, I couldn't stand the anger in myself. And most of the time, I walked in the Spirit and was like, okay, God, I need you every day, every moment, moment by moment choice, right? The moment I didn't make the moment by choice to follow Christ and walk in the Spirit, I was the screaming maniac, like, oh my gosh, what did you do? You ruined my life. My life was only ruined if I let it. Did I want to be healed? What did Jesus say to the man at the pool of Bethesda? Mm-hmm. Oh, but God, you don't know how hurt I am. I can't get to the pool. That's what I said. But you don't know how hurt I am. I can't get to the pool. Every time there's nobody to put me in, the angel comes and stirs it. Jesus said, but do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Yes. I wanted to be healed because all I could think about was, oh my goodness, this is so grievous. Everything that I have lived for at that time for 27 years is a lie. Is that true? God is not real. God is not loving. He didn't really change my life. I didn't become a Christian until I was 22. Everything is a lie after 27 years? No. No, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I wanted to be healed. So I had to say, yes, God. Yes, I will lay before you. I will trust in you. I will live in your word. I will listen to whatever it says. Hey, when I went to church and I heard the pastor talking about the adulterous woman, I'm like, oh, this is torturous. Or I'd say, oh, and, you know, we're walking with the Lord and the fruit. And then I think, that's the way life used to be. You know, it was horrible. It was torturous. And I would go there week after week, and I would hear the Lord, and I would hear the Lord, and I would hear the Lord. And I would say, I am not going to be one of those bloody victims that gets picked off. I am not. I have my friends, some who walked with me through this time. They listen to me yell and scream and think, are you going to be okay? I don't know. One of them said, it might take 2 or 3 years before you get past it. I'm like, 2 or 3 years? I don't even think I can make it through the day. I don't know if I can make it through this hour. But by the grace of God, he's so good. He just pours his love into us, pours his love into us. He tells us the truth. That's why I love the truth. That's why I'm speaking the truth, because the truth will set you free. Without the truth, it's hopeless. It is hopeless. What if God didn't design marriage to be easy? What if he had an end in mind that was more than just companionship, happiness, comfort? What if he wanted to make us holy through marriage? The marriage supper to the Lamb. God has a great purpose for us, and he wants to make us holy. Sometimes we have to go through those bitter juices, just like the thyme plant. When you squeeze it out, there's bitter juice. But when you use it, delicious meal, and it can make honey a holy life, can't it? If we are willing to be squeezed out, to be pruned, to be clipped. You know, this wasn't my thing. It wasn't about me. So what God had to do was take me out of the picture. He had to let me know this is not love. He had to teach me what love was. He had to teach me it was by grace that I was saved. He had to teach me that he was the mighty warrior in my midst, that he had already finished the work on the cross, that he was going to sing over me with joy. He had to teach me that he who began the good work in me was going to be faithful. He had to teach me his grace was sufficient for me. He had to teach me how to love, how to pour out that grace and that mercy. You cannot do that in your flesh. I'm not that nice. I'm an outspoken woman. I told Gary, you're going to crash, you're going to crash. And the sad thing is we're all going to go with you, and we can't stop the train. But then God gave me a compassion. He gave me a compassion for my friend. He gave me a compassion for my husband. These poor souls were sick, and they needed forgiveness. They needed God's grace and his mercy. I had to purpose in my heart to go to the cross. And isn't that what Jesus did? He purposed in his heart. He already knew what his purpose was. It was to glorify God. It was to save us, to bring us into his presence, to reconcile us. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that why we're here? Because God reconciled himself to us? So how could I do anything different? And every time I said, what about me? What about me, God? I'm the one that's hurt, and now I'm stuck with the anger. Very clearly, I heard God say, if you will give it to me, I will take it. I will heal you. I will give you beauty for ashes, joy for your mourning. I will do that, Carol, if you let me. I will make you more like me. I haven't arrived. I don't claim to have arrived. But I wanted to be a woman of grace. And God had promised me about 6 years before this that I was. He was going to make me a woman of grace. You know the Lord speaks to you? And you just know that he's spoken to you. It's not like you hear that audible voice. It's nothing weird. You just know that God has spoken to you. And he told me that he was going to make me a woman of grace. He was going to answer that prayer. Boy, I didn't know what I was going to have to go through to become that woman of grace. And he's still working on me. When we get married, the wedding calls us to the highest and the best, right? We plan the wedding, and we want the best, and we want it all special. But really, it's almost impossible to live up to those expectations, isn't it? There's no way you can live up to your husband's expectations or that he can live up to yours. He's going to disappoint you. You're going to disappoint him. You have to know that. You have to know that every marriage has its challenges. There's not one of us. We were talking about falling down. Or we're talking about bathroom issues. Everybody has to go, you know? How many of you have never fallen down in your life? How about falling down in front of a whole crowd? You know, it happens. It happens. So in marriages, we go through rough spots. It's going to happen. Two sinners come together. They both went their own way. And if they make the moment choice in that one little moment to walk in the flesh, there's probably going to be an argument. And if they continue, then it's going to be longer. But if you give it up and you say, not my will, but your will be done, then there can be peace. If we fight this, then we're not going to be transformed so easily, are we? We're going to be pricked and pruned over and over again, just like Pastor Brian was talking about last night. You don't learn the lesson, you keep going around the corner. Oh, I always say, I don't want to fall in the same hole, you know? That manhole that's there, and you walk down the street, and you fall into the same sin. It's like, no, no, no. Okay, then you walk down the street, and you think you're going to go around it, and then you fall into the same hole. Take a different route. Don't go there. You know, take your thoughts captive. I want to be transformed. I want to become that mature person. You know, becoming that person is a blessing, is a sweet aroma to God. Ambition can be fatal, right? You have your plan. How many of you have a plan? You get up in the morning and you have your plan. You have your devotions, and then you get the kids going, and you've got your plan, and your husband decides to take the day off. He messes up all of your plans. It happens, right? My husband worked at home. I have to tell you, I love my husband working at home. But, you know, he really puts a little kink in my homeschooling. Let's go to the pool today. You know, let's do this. We have to be careful to be on God's plan, to be ambitious about growing in Christ, not our own things, not what we think is good. Even religious ambition can blind you. And that's what happened to my husband. He got blinded by that. And it suffocates everything else out and everyone else. They don't see the price that they're going to pay. They don't see the price that they're going to make their loved ones pay, because they're blind and they're obsessed with, they have to get this thing done this way. If you don't fall back into line with God's plan, there will be some sort of spiritual death. And that's what happened with us. It was that spiritual death. But praise God, with his grace and his mercy, he picked us back up. He washed us off. He said his grace was sufficient. He told us that he who began the good work was going to be faithful to complete it. Look at your husband through God's eyes and not your own. I always pray that over couples. I pray that for myself. Help me to see my husband through God's eyes and not my own. Because God loves him. Because God created him. And he wants him. Do you want your husband to be just like a loser? You know? I feel like I can't even do anything right. You know? I mean, is that what you want? You don't want your husband to be a loser. You don't want your husband to feel like he's inept. You don't want your husband to be like, oh, I'm just a failure. I can't even provide for my family. I can't do this. I can't do that. We're there to build them up. We're there to complete. We're not there to overtake and tell them how to do everything and run everything. That's our desire, right? We want to be the one that leads, so we have to step back. But we want to build them up. God's word tells us in Ephesians, when we talk about the marriage chapter, that we are to respect our husbands. How do you respect them when they're not being respectable? By God's love and his grace and his mercy. By looking at them through God's eyes and not your own. God sees his son through Jesus, and his sins are washed away. He sees him pure and clean. Let's build our husbands up. Above all, don't blame your spouse for your spiritual growth or your lack of it. You are the one that is responsible for your walk with the Lord. That's all I could do. I couldn't stop his train. My train was how I reacted to the crash. That was my train. His train crashed. And because of that, mine did too. But I was responsible for how I responded to that. God allowed me one day after going to church he showed me a vision that I was the father in the prodigal son. He gave me the opportunity to run and meet my husband as he was coming back. He gave me the opportunity to throw that cloak over him, that robe, the finest one, to shod his feet with those sandals, to give him that ring, to prepare a party because his son had come home. Wow, when I was sitting at the table and I saw that picture, I started to cry. God had allowed me to love my husband with an unconditional love. Wow, I certainly didn't have it in me. Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. To be used like that, ladies. To be the one that built your husband up. You know the weird thing about this whole thing? Is that Gary was the one that knew how to minister to me through this whole mess. I was the one that knew how to minister to him through this whole mess. When I would lose it and I would start going, oh my goodness, I would hit the floor because I was dangerous. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my goodness. So I hit the floor. You know, my kids run to the other side of the house, turn on the worship music and start praying. And Gary would grab the Bible, turn on the worship music, and sit there and read the Bible over me. Just read the word, read the word, read the word. You know, if your husbands are doing something, take heed. Read the word over them. Maybe it's even while they're sleeping. Or if they allow you to, just read the word. It's healing. I'd be laying there going, oh my God. And then I would say, what? Read that one again. Read that one again. I mean, it was the craziest thing. I'm not kidding you. I was a nutcase. But it was so awesome because he washed me with the word. He washed me with the word. He knew how to handle my emotions. Why? Because we were one. Because we made that commitment to each other. And that's what we have to do in our marriages. We have to come together. We can't blame that I'm not spiritual because my husband doesn't wash me with the word or doesn't read the word to me. We have to keep praying that I will have the right mindset. I will walk in the word. I will stand up. We have to give glory to God in our marriage, and that's what I'm doing today. Is there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's what God showed me. I didn't want my husband. Okay, I'm the adulterer. That's how I'm going to walk through life. That's my new label. No, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when he has forgiven us, he has forgiven us. And he has washed us clean and he puts that sin aside. Okay, so then why do I bring that up again? Because one of the things that God showed me and my husband is, Peter's sin is out there for everybody to read. Every day, millions and billions of people read about Peter's failure. Does God hold that against him? No. God shows the reconciliation of a sinner. God shows his glory because Peter then went on to serve him and to die for him. And that's what God wants in our life. So in our marriages, what we could get down. Well, I don't have this good marriage. Well, I don't have that kind of grace. Well, my husband's not like that. Well, I'm not that strong. No. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And his grace is poured out upon you. And he wants you to be high and lifted up, praising his name. He wants your marriage to be a testimony. How can it be a testimony if it fails? As a pastor's wife, I thought, oh my goodness, if God doesn't work for me, why should anybody listen to me? All those messages I ever taught, are nothing if God doesn't work for me. We took the counsel that we had given other people in this situation and we used it on ourselves. And it worked. Isn't that amazing? It worked. God is true. God is real. His Holy Spirit is living in us. And if we will take hold of Him, the hem of His garment, and be healed in our marriages, be strengthened in our marriages, be healed in our minds, whatever it is, if we will cling on to Jesus, live in His Word, He will do miraculous things in our life. He will glorify Himself. And it won't be you. I've got to glorify God. Those herbs aren't going. I've got to work this up. Got to be pretty. Got to be green. No. Got to flower. No. It's living, abiding in Christ. Then we glorify God. I know your marriages, maybe some of them are really hard. Maybe some of them need to be strengthened today. Don't give up because God is for you. He loves you. He loves your husband. You don't want your husband to be beaten down by all the things he can't do right. Look at him through God's eyes. And you know, they say that if you speak to somebody at what they can be, they will grow into that. But if you're always speaking to them like you're nothing, you can't do this, you don't do anything right, then they're always beaten down and they're going to stay in that place. They're going to start to believe that about themselves. Loves your husband, and he loves you, and he's for you, and he wants to glorify himself in your marriage and in your life. You know, if one of you dies and you're not married anymore, your purpose hasn't changed. God wants to glorify himself in you. God wants to mold you and shape you into his image. He wants to make you holy because he's holy. And that's what we need to work on. Resting in Him. How about we sing the song? Hosanna. Mm-hmm. As I lay on the floor, as I drove down the street, I would just sing, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And teach me how to love the way you have loved me. God loved me so much. How could I not love my husband when he was repentant? Even if he wasn't, God would still call me to love him and forgive him. How could we not do that to the people we love the most? Why did you marry your husband? Fell in love with him. And then what happened? We want to keep loving him. We want to keep growing with him. God hates divorce, and you don't want to do that. We're two people, and God has a plan for us to come together, to complete each other, to walk in His love, in His grace, in His mercy, and to glorify Himself. As we trust God for that grace and that mercy that we need, we worship Him. We make that sweet aroma. We give that blessing to the Lord. You know how we bless the Lord through our prayers, through our obedience. And that's what God desires, and that's what was spoken of today, right? Obedience. That God desires obedience over sacrifice. So if you're out busy and you're doing other things, and you're doing too many things, if it's not the right thing, then you're not being obedient. And really, your family comes first. Your husband comes first. Your children come next. So it's God, your husband, your children, and then others. So we have to make sure our priorities are straight. We have to guard our marriages. We have to grow in grace. We have to love our husband and look at him through God's eyes. And then He will glorify Himself through our marriage. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are good, that you are faithful, that you have a plan for our life.
and that it's for good and not for evil. We ask that your kingdom would come, your will would be done, that you would be high and lifted up and glorified.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.